الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس Honorable Ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic for tonight, brothers and sisters, is the challenges the Ummah are facing currently. One of the biggest challenges the Ummah is facing today is the challenge of Zionism and what is happening in the land of Palestine. So we'll make that our starting point before coming to the other challenges. Briefly, to understand the conflict that's going on there in the Middle East, we need to understand the history. And it's sad but true, majority of this Ummah do not even know our basic history. We will use the Gregorian calendar so it will make it much easier for you to understand. It was in the year 637, Gregorian calendar, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda is Amirul Mu'mineen, and we find there in the land of Palestine Al-Quds Baytul Maqdis, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an and the Sahaba had laid siege to the city of Al-Quds of Jerusalem for 4 months. The leader of the Christians, his name was Sophronius, he came to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an and said, "Fine, we surrender. However, our books, our scriptures tell us the person we need to hand over the keys of this city, his name is Umar bin Khattab. So, where is this person?" So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu said that he is Amirul Mu'mineen and the Khalifa of the Muslims. He will come personally from Medina Munawwara. Lo and behold, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes from Medina Munawwara there to Al-Quds, to Baytul Muqaddas, Baytul Maqdis, both ways you can pronounce it. Brothers, we need to know what happened on that occasion. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, walking, and his khadim and his attendant riding the animal, 17 patches on his clothes. He is Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu warda. When the Sahaba saw Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu entering, till today that mountain's name has remained the same. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu entered, we find that the Sahaba shouted, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." If you've been to Aqsa, you will know in front of Aqsa there's a mountain till today called Jabal Mukabbar, the mountain of Takbir. The Sahaba shouted Takbir so loudly that even the mountain echoed Takbir, hence the name Jabal Mukabbar. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered, and the keys were handed over to him, فَبَكَى Umar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started crying and weeping. Sophronius was amazed. "We just handed over the key to you and you are crying?" He said, "Inna الظُّلْمَ لَسَاءَهْ وَإِنَّ الْأَدْلَ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاءَهْ." When you have oppression and tyranny, it will last for a short while. We all know what happened to apartheid and everything else in our own beloved country. وَإِنَّ الْأَدْلَ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاءَةِ. And verily justice will last till the day of justice. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started the negotiations. If you've been to Aqsa, you will know Masjidul Aqsa, the structure is in front. Behind Masjidul Aqsa is Qubbatul Sakhra, the dome of the rock, the one you see on your postcards and on your movies and TV, and you see the golden dome. So that is known as Qubbatul Sakhra. And behind that is Kanisatul Qiyamah, and that is the Church of Resurrection, one of the holiest places for Christendom. They say that Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Allah forbid, this is kufr. They say when he died, then he stayed there and was buried there for 3 days. So we must remember, we reject all that, but you should know the importance of this church as well, because just now there will be a cross reference to it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters, and now Sufyanus is representing the Christians because he is the head of the clergy, and the mufawazat, the negotiations begin. Today we as Muslims are branded by the West, by their media, as terrorists, fundamentalists, bloodthirsty, trigger happy. Take this one incident of that personality, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who was one of the greatest people to walk on this earth, after the Anbiya and Rusul, the prophets and messengers, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. So Sufyanus made a proposal and said, no Jew must be allowed to stay in the city of Jerusalem. From who did the proposal come? The proposal did not come from the Muslims. The proposal came from Sufyanus, the leader of the Christians. We must remember this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu rejected it and said, how the city is for Muslims, it will be for Christians, it will be for Jews, and for anybody who wants to stay here. We will live coexistingly, and we will have the rights for every person here will be given his due rights. This was the politics, this was the justice system of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. But today the same people are labeling us as terrorists. They're labeling our madrasas and darulums as bases for terrorism. Can you imagine that they stayed there? It was the mercy of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Second issue, when the time came for Salat, the same Sufyanus told him, for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that read your Salat here, you know it's clean and so forth, here there's no idols or anything. The idols were on the other side. He said, I know I can perform Salat here, but in time, sometime in future, what might happen? My people will say, Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen, perform Salat here. And then they will say they want to take over your church. So therefore, it's better that I read my Salat outside. He took a stone and threw it. And where the stone landed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu performed Salat there. So you have Masjidul Aqsa, then you have Qubbatul Sakhra, behind it you have Kanisatul Qiyamah. I visited all these places, mashallah. Even the church, we went right inside to see what is happening there and where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu went to and so forth. And then on the right-hand side, you will find the masjid called Masjid Umar up to this day. So this was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's foresight and insight. This all happened in the year 637. One statement Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made, if we the Ummah can only understand this, remember victory is ours in every country. نَحْنُ قَوْمُنَ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ We are a people that Almighty Allah gave us izzah because of Islam. Allah gave us honor, Allah gave us dignity because of Islam. We did not give Islam dignity and honor. Islam gave us honor. وَمَهْمَا نَتْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ And seek any other ism, and Almighty Allah will humiliate and disgrace us. Look at the disgrace and the humiliation of the Ummah today. Everywhere you find the bloodletting, everywhere you find so many refugees, you look at any survey and statistics, you will find the Muslims have the greatest amount of refugees in the world today. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala then goes back to Medina Munawwara. From the year 637 to the year 1099, Al-Quds, Palestine, Baitul Muqaddas, call it whatever you want to, stayed in the hands of Muslims for more than 4 centuries. The Pope fired up the emotions of the Christians, and you need to read the books on the Crusades and the Crusaders. And the first Crusaders entered in the year 1099 in the land of Palestine. And lo and behold, their writers have written, if Muslims write, we could say they are biased and prejudiced. So you must remember, in the year 1099, there were governments involved and so forth. There's no time for all those details. Nevertheless, in one day, 70,000 plus Muslims were slaughtered. The blood was flowing more than water in the gullies and alleys of Al-Quds, of Baitul Maqdis, Baitul Muqaddas, Jerusalem. We don't have an agenda against anybody. What is the truth we must speak? We must remember even some Jews were killed. What is the truth we have to state? But the ultimate and majority target were the Muslims, and 70,000 of our people died, became martyred. On Masjid al-Aqsa, Qubbatul Sakhra, that whole compound, you found the crucifix, you found the cross there. And for 88 years, the masjid was closed, Masjid al-Aqsa closed. Never mind 5 times Salat, Jummah Salat also would not take place in the land of Aqsa. Just to digress for a moment, if you heard the news today, we more interested in all this Cricket World Cup and all that. You ask the men what you're doing, they're busy with Hollywood. You ask the woman what you're doing, they're busy with Bollywood. You ask the children what you're busy with, they'll tell you they're busy with Robin Hood. You understood? So brothers, if the Ummah behaves like that, you're not going to go far. You have to study and analyze what are the serious issues. Today, it became big news. The apartheid regime of Israel allowed 200 people from Gaza. The kafirs, they say Gaza. Learn the proper term. Gaza. Gaza is the place where Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, Muhammad bin Idris was born in the year 150. Gaza is the land where Mustafa, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great-grandfather Hashim is buried. Gaza is the land conquered by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That is our golden history. Nevertheless, that's a separate topic. So today, the apartheid regime of Israel allowed 200 people from Gaza to come from Gaza and perform Jummah Salat in Masjid al-Aqsa, and that became world news. But they didn't tell you the other side of the story. Every one of them had to be over 50, 60 years old. Then only would they allow them. And the condition was, by evening time now already, they have to leave the boundaries of Jerusalem and go back to Gaza. You see the problems they are facing? They're born and bred there, but they can't read Salat in Aqsa up to this day if they are younger than 50 years old. Let's go on with the history. In 1099, right up to 1187, for 88 years, there was occupation by the Christian forces, not Jewish, the Christian forces and Christian army. This is وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُوَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala gives everybody a chance. When you study the land of Palestine, for centuries, more than 4 centuries at that time, it was in the hands of Muslims. When Muslims did not appreciate it, Almighty Allah brought zalims, non-Muslims, Christian, and they slaughtered the Muslim men, women and children. And then we find for 88 years occupation took place. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala selected and chose a person who would hardly smile. He never ever visited Makkah Mukarrama or Madinah Munawwara. What is his name? Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi. You know, today you speak of the Kurds. So he was from that area. Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi. In English, there's a book written in 3 volumes. You should read it. Saladin the Just. The book I'm speaking of, 3 volumes, is written by Muslim. Saladin the Just and all that is written by Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bil a'da'u. Virtue is that which your enemy also bear testimony to. Even the enemies, the Orientalists say, what a great and just ruler he was. That was Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi. Go read about him, that how he used, subhanallah, such insight and foresight. He defeated the enemies there in Akka. He defeated them in Asqalan. He defeated them in Hittin. Today this Ummah does not even know the word Hittin, where it is and so forth. One of the greatest battles that were fought were in the Battle of Hittin. And that is where Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah defeated the enemy. It was Friday. Listen carefully to the date. It was Friday, 27th of Rajab, and the year 1087. Friday, 27th Rajab, 1087. After 88 years of occupation, this great warrior and son of Islam, Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi, now ascends the minbar. If somebody tells you, come and perform Jummah Salat in a place where there was a masjid, there was a minbar, but it was closed for 88 years, how do you start the khutbah? And this is no ordinary masjid, if you want to use the term ordinary for a masjid. This is the third greatest masjid for us as Muslims throughout the world. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah climbs on a minbar, the minbar built by Nuruddin Zanki rahimahullah. You learn about all these brothers. A masterpiece of the minbar made of wood, and not one nail was knocked into that minbar. Such a minbar and pulpit he built. Nevertheless, when he stood, Salahuddin Ayyubi, the people are elated, overjoyed. After 88 years, we have a khutbah, we have Jummah Salat. He starts his khutbah. فَقُطِيَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَقُطِيَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. The remnants and the relics of the zalims and the oppressors have been cut to shreds and pieces. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. So brothers, we must remember that was Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi. We had a message for the Jews. We told them, you stayed in Jerusalem because Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, whose justice system allowed you. We have a message for the Christians. From the year 1187, we are in 2015. If I am speaking from my pocket, you go and ask the Christians, not their idiots and ignorant people, they know nothing. Go ask their clergy, go ask their leaders, go ask their politicians, that your church, Kanisatul Qiyamah, I told you cross-reference, your church, Kanisatul Qiyamah, which is holier than the Vatican, who opens it and who closes it up to this day? The karamat of Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi rahimahullah remains till today, brothers and sisters in Islam. In the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi al-Kurdi, they were so astonished with his justice system. They told him, O Saladin, O Salahuddin, here are the keys. You take these keys of this church and you be in charge. If we have to keep these keys of this church, then we will have Skopskit and Donner among ourselves. You know Afrikaans. So the Protestants will say they want the keys. The Catholics will say they want it. The Anglicans and the Lutherans will say they want it. Leave all of them, you look after it. From Salahuddin Ayyubi's time till today, every morning the Muslims go and open the church. Every evening the Muslims go and close the church. This is our Islamic history. But yet they have the audacity to tell us we are the terrorists and we are the people who don't want to negotiate and so forth. So this is one side of the coin. So from the time of 1187 right up till 1917, you must remember when we find that now the negotiations took place and all that, Britain got involved, Balfour Declaration, the Khilafat fell in 1924. From that time we lost Jerusalem, and then now you come to the Zionist apartheid history. 1948, you find the apartheid regime of Israel was established. 1:12, the first country to recognize them was America. And thereafter in 67, then we must remember that Jerusalem was occupied. Until today it is occupied territory illegally. And then we find that the flag of the Israelis, it's a white flag like this, and it has two blue lines. One line on top, one line at the bottom. And remember, it is telling us, Minal Furati ila Nil. It's a smack in the face of every Muslim. Of every person who has some iman in his heart, is a smack in his face. Especially the Arab regimes, for them, is the biggest smack in their face. So they are telling them from the river Nile in Egypt, right till the Euphrates River in Iraq, all this land, Eretz Israel, belongs to us. If you ask the apartheid regime, prime minister, president, وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, Allah gives izzat to whomsoever He wants, and Allah disgraces whomsoever He wants. On air, on CII, I say, the Israelis, they love their rifles. So their president, one of their presidents of the past, Ketzef, he couldn't look after his own rifle, so he was caught on rape charges, so he's landed up in jail. So he's in prison. And you find that their prime minister, Olmert, he also landed up in jail on corruption. He's one of the few countries in the world where the former president and prime minister and president both are in jail. So you must remember that, that is how Allah disgraces them. Anyway, let's just carry on with what I'm telling you now. So in that land, 67, Jerusalem occupied, then expanding their borders, you saw the Iraqi war, Saddam Hussein, I'm Abdul Qadir Hussein, Saddam, not my uncle or something. So anyway, you must remember that he was just a pawn in this game. You must remember that. The aim was to extend the borders of the apartheid regime of Israel. You saw how they extended it right into Egypt? They made sure they get rid of the Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. They made sure they get rid of Mursi. Mursi is a Hafiz of Quran. Mursi was a person who had Islam at heart and still does have Islam at heart. So you must remember that was the politics going on. And then the last and ultimate prize which Zionism wants. Palestine has become Israel. Al-Quds has become Jerusalem. And you must remember the borders. It's the only country in the world that is not submitted their borders to the United Nations. And now the fourth and ultimate prize. And what is that? To take Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, demolish it, and then replace it with Haikal-e Suleimani, the Temple of Solomon. So that is the major challenge this Ummah is facing. Oh Ummah and Muslimah, how can we be in such? In Urdu we have a wonderful word. We call it Khab-e Ghaflat. How can we be so fast asleep, you know? Turn the clock back 20 years, 21 years. It is 1994. It is the 15th of Ramadan. Fajr time. In the city of Hebron, Khalilur Rahman, we call it, the Jews call it Hebron. Just next to Bethlehem, Hebron, Wednesday they torched another masjid. Nevertheless, Baruch Goldstein, South African Jew terrorist Zionist, Baruch Goldstein is from South Africa. On 15th Ramadan, Saturday morning, Fajr time, 800 of our brothers performing Salat in Masjid Ibrahim, Khalilur Rahman. He enters, obviously with the connivance of the army and the police. How can a person walk in with a gun and all that there? They are facing the Qibla, they're reading Salat, obviously. From the back, he enters, he mows them down. 29 of them became shaheed and martyred straight away. The eventual death toll was 69, 70 of our brothers became shuhada and martyrs. Israeli-style justice. Where are the Muslim governments? Where are the Arab regimes? Israeli-style justice, what they did? They took that Masjid Ibrahim. I read Salat Day in 89. I read Salat Day in 92. The whole masjid belonged to us. Go there now, we went after that as well. And you will find the masjid is partitioned. And the front portion is for the Muslim, and the back portion is for the Jews and the Zionists. And for us to enter there is such a huge mission, because the army will interrogate you, ask you 101 questions. And for the Jews, you must remember easy access everything. This is Israeli apartheid style so-called justice. They murder our people in the masjid, and then they steal half our masjid also. Why did I mention this, brothers? Because they want to use the same thing for Masjid al-Aqsa. But where is this ummah? This ummah has forgotten majority of the Palestinians. Therefore, the Palestinian beloved children, when we go there, so we speak to them. I'll just tell you one incident just now. They have iman in their hearts and stone in their hands. And the slogan they tell the Jews and the apartheid regime, Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud. Remember Khaybar, remember Khaybar, O Yahud. Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. The army of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming again to liberate Aqsa. Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud. Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. Who will liberate it? Remember, this is part of Ijazul Quran. We don't do anything today. The Ummah doesn't read Quran. The Ummah doesn't read Sunnah. The Ummah is not interested in history. The Ummah is only interested in making money. Let us be open about these issues. When we speak generally. Brothers, you must remember, go read the Quran. This is the miracle of Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئْنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا. When the final promise comes, we will bring you Jews in groups and groups. You come back here. Netanyahu, the apartheid prime minister of Israel, what is telling the Jews throughout the world? Oh, Jews of South Africa, oh, Jews of Europe, oh, Jews here and there, come back to your homeland. So Allah already said they're going to go back to the homeland. Which word Allah used? فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئْنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا. Go open Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17. Go read verses 5, 6, 7, 8. There is a Palestinian scholar wrote a masterpiece, Haqa'iqul Qur'aniya Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya. You the ulama, you who know Arabic, good Arabic, you should be reading this book. Haqa'iqul Qur'aniya Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya. In there he wrote, what does Quran say? فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. When the final promise comes, it's still to come. لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Allah will let the Muslims disfigure their faces. وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ. They will enter the masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, as they entered it the first time through jihad. Not negotiations of Palestinian Authority. They're munafiqeen and hypocrites, these people. They will sell all Masjid al-Aqsa for you. So you must remember that. وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا. And the arrogance and the pride of the apartheid regime, Israel and their supporters, Allah will crush it to pieces. See the promise of Allah, brothers. So those who are making effort for the liberation of Aqsa, Almighty Allah gave them already this glad tidings. So we must be clear on these issues. We will liberate Aqsa. When I was there last year, they did not allow me. They kept me for 5 hours, interrogated me. And thereafter, I told her, I will come back, inshallah. They had a lady interrogating me and so forth, which I expected. So you must remember, brothers, the point I want to make, it is the duty of this ummah. Our duty, our children's duty, our mothers, our sisters' duty, that we have to come back to Masjid al-Aqsa, our first Qibla, and make sure that we liberate it. We can't be waiting for this power and this power. What can you do? First, you can do dua, make dua. Second, iqra, start reading. Understand what is the battle. Today I sit on this mimbar and tell you openly, But our brother is recording it, the cassette, this CD will go to 1,000 places, alhamdulillah. So you must remember that if you put a Jew and you put a Muslim and tell them to debate the issue of Palestine, 90% of the time the Jew will beat the Muslim. Because they are well equipped and we only have emotions and make noise. That's all. We don't have no mawad, we don't have no substance. So you must start reading seriously. Third one, take your wife, take your children and go see what is happening. Tutu is no Muslim. Tutu and them went there, they said what they saw in the land of Palestine is worse than the apartheid that they suffered here in South Africa. We all suffered through apartheid, but it's worse there in the land of Palestine. So these are people who are not Muslim. If you say Muslim, you can be biased. So you go and see with your own eyes. Fourth one, Aftina fi Baytil Maqdis ya Rasulallah. Maymuna binti Sa'd radiallahu anha, the hadith in Musnad Ahmad. You give us the fatwa of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Baytul Muqaddas or Baytul Maqdis. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya Ardul Mahshar wal Manshar. It is the land of resurrection. So Nabi alayhi salam, what must we do? Fa'atihi fasulli fihi fa'inna salata fihi ka'alfi salat. Go and read salat there. One salat day is equivalent to 1,000 salat. They pleaded poverty, Ya Rasulullah, we cannot go there. From Medina is very far in those days. So they said, okay, then you give them gifts. Meaning, send olive oil there. Send something to them. So take our money, you go yourself. And go see the yatama and the orphans there. Who is there? Go ask Aqa, 1992, 15, 16 of us were invited, ulama. We went, and it was 1-2 days left for us to return, to come back to South Africa. We still under apartheid those days. 94, you know, we had our elections and so forth. Nevertheless, in 1992, we find that we were there, and we were supposed to come back. I was facing Aqsa, and one young boy, 8-year-old boy, facing me. Speaking to him in Arabic, I told him, Qa'aqa. Today, if you keep the name Qa'aqa, most of our people will be laughing. The joke is on you, because you don't even know the Mujahideen in Islam. Open the last hadith in Bukhari Sharif, you will find the name also. So nevertheless, we must remember Qa'aqa faced me. I told him, oh Qa'aqa, come back, we take you to South Africa. In the morning, we enroll you in the school, and afternoon in madrasa. The answer, the response, the reply the 8-year-old boy gave brought tears to my eyes. He turned around and he pointed towards Masjid al-Aqsa. Sheikh, you're telling me to come to your Junubi Africa. If I leave here, who will look after Masjid al-Aqsa? The 8-year-old boy got that fikr and concern. We will give our life. We will not allow Aqsa to go. Where is this ummah today? Khaybar, Khaybar, ya Yahud. Inna jaysha Muhammad sawfa ya'ud. So this is one big challenge we are facing, the liberation of our first Qibla. You must remember that. Second challenge we are facing is the challenge of the Salafis. Last week, Friday, this time, I was still in Mauritius. I was gone to reunion and I was gone to Mauritius for 9-10 days. Just to give you one statistic, and remember these things are happening in South Africa. Any vice that happens is not confined to any place or country. And South Africa is free for all. You know that South Africa is democratic dispensation. Everything is Allah, kullu halal in South Africa, you know. Whether you're on this side or this side, you just have to look at the spy tapes, you'll see. South Africa is involved everywhere. They don't understood. Ghar ka chor bhi hai aur bahir ka chor bhi hai. They don't understood. So the spies are spying against the government also. Their own guys are spying against the government also. So anyway, that's their business. Let's just carry on with the topic. So the Salafis in Mauritius only. This is what I want to tell you. The Salafis in Mauritius only have already taken 15 of our masajid. So what happens? Your jamaat activities, gasht and all that, ta'alim, no more. They will tell you, Jummah time, your imams are no more welcome here. Everything we control and everything we will do. Who are the Salafis? What is our response to them? Let me just give you a little bit of academic discussion. You need to equip yourself. You must remember that. Then you can speak against them. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah 3 verse 31. Learn these verses. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Tell them, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Almighty Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaculately. If you know philology and you know Arabic, you will know the cow when it gives birth. The calf in Arabic is called tabi'. So how that calf follows its mother in every hook, nook and corner? So you and me, the ummah, in all walks of life, not only in salat, in our politics, our economics, in whatever else, everywhere Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is uswa hasana. So we have to imitate, emulate Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yuhbibkumullah, Almighty Allah will love you. You become the beloved of Allah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah jalla wa ala will forgive you. So that is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow. Second, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. We follow Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the greatest Jama'ah is Jama'ah of Sahaba. Quran says, Surah 9, verse 100, and those who follow the Sahaba bi ihsan, with sincerity, you follow them, you fulfill your duty with beauty. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So in Islam, we will follow Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow the Sahaba. And with Sahaba, all, yes, and more so, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin al mahdiyin. Authentic hadith in Ibn Majah and Abu Dawood. You follow my way and you follow the way of the rightly guided khalifs. Today there are people who are cursing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir Muawiyah, Sayyida Aisha. Such people, remember, can never be Muslim. We need to be clear on these issues. So you must remember that Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself said that the people who are the best of this ummah, Abu Bakrin wa Umar. You want reference? Go open Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's kitab Minhajul Sunnah, and in there he has mentioned this saying and said 80 people narrated this from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The best of this ummah are Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Obviously first in Nabi alayhi salam, after Nabi alayhi salam, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. So we need to be clear. Number one, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we follow the Sahaba. Surah 9, verse 100. Number three, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and follow those, the path of those who turn towards me, towards Allah. Surah 31, verse 15. This is where we have big problem with the Salafis. Salafis say, no, you must follow the Quran and Sunnah. So we say, fine, we follow the Quran and Sunnah. Now when you take an ordinary person, the public, 90% of this ummah is in jahalat today. Half of them, 80%, can't even read Quran properly. And you say that you must give them the Quran and the Sunnah and make them freelancers. So when we ask them, what will you do? When there's an apparent contradiction, so they say, no, we will look at Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. We will look at Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. We will look at Ibn Hazm. So instead of following their interpretation, why you don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's interpretation? Why you don't follow Imam Shafi's interpretation? They were much nearer to the Sahaba. They were the people who codified the whole of fiqh and jurisprudence. So we must remember when we speak of taqleed, to follow one of the schools, the aim is not to follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah per se. The aim is not to follow Imam Shafi rahimahullah per se. No. The aim is to follow the Quran Kareem, to follow the Sunnah, and as understood by these great scholars and jurors. And we have i'timad, we have confidence in their understanding. We don't have confidence in your saying. Why we don't have confidence in your saying? Because you must remember, they lived in the time where they met Sahaba radiallahu anh. They lived in the time that they stayed in Medina Munawwara like Imam Malik rahimahullah. Imam Malik, if you know his fiqh and jurisprudence, his one usul and principle is this, ta'amulu ahlil Medina, that the regular practice of the people of Medina is also considered as evidence in Islam. So there are so many reasons we can cite. So brothers, today we have a huge problem. I'll give you just one example. There's no time. I want to speak of one, two other issues as well. Just yesterday, a question came to me from a sister. Her name, everything Muslim. She says she wants to marry a Christian boy. She wants to marry a Christian boy. So I wrote in the fatwa, it's haram according to all schools for you to marry the Christian boy. And the dalil and evidence is Surah 60, Surah Mumtahina, verse number 10. La hunna hillu lahum wa lahum yahilluna lahun. They are not halal for you. Meaning any non-Muslim man is not halal for you. And you are not halal for them. Whether it's a Jew, Christian, Hindu, atheist, whatever. So I said, if you want to marry him, then he must become Muslim and make sure that he becomes a devoted Muslim, not just 1-2 minutes, 1 hour before the nikah, he embraces Islam. We have seen too many of this. They just use the Muslim lady and then after having a good time, leave her. So anyway, he gave her some advice. Today she replies, I don't accept your interpretation. I also studied the Quran. This is Salafism. When you say you are a self-styled scholar, you don't need anybody. I will go direct to Quran myself. I will go direct to the Sunnah myself. So she says, no, I will marry him. I don't have to listen to you. So remember, a person like that is totally out of the fold of Islam. And remember, she will say that male and female are equal in Islam. So you must remember this, that if the male can do something, then a woman can also do something. So remember this. If you just ask them about inheritance, the male inherit double and the woman single. Talaq, only men can give, the woman can't give. 101 issues like this. But this is what you see in Salafiyat. That people eventually will end up following their base desires. Why we insist on taqleed? Why we say you have to follow one school? So that we suppress our desires. Otherwise, Deenul Islam will become a religion. Everybody will become a freelancer. I choose this, I choose this, I choose this. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Whosoever fears standing in the court of Almighty Allah, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, and you restrain yourself from your desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ, then remember, Jannah is that person's resting place. And for another place, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ, have you seen that person who made his desires his God? Have you seen that person who has made his desires his God? وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, Allah Ta'ala let him go astray. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ, Allah has put a seal on his heart, on his ears. وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَىٰ, Allah has placed a veil on his eyes. فَمَنْ يَهَدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ, who will give him hidayat besides Allah? So you must remember this, brothers, the Salafiyat menace today is very dangerous, but it appeals a lot to our youth and the Muslims. Why? Because when you go study the Hanafi school, Shafi school, Maliki school, Hanbali school, any school, no, you have to follow this, follow this. So we say, no, I can follow anyone. It is in the Quran, it is in the Hadith. So what is the problem? The problem is you're not following deen. You are following your own whims and fancies. Whims and fancies is not deen. It is direct opposite of deen. And this is the fear. So my brothers, you must know, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were the Sahaba? quickly let me just end this second part on this. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were that group of people. They were the beloved companions and students of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a teacher. The students were the male, female among the Sahaba, adults and children. Today was Jumu'ah, although Islamically now we know it's Saturday. In Surah Jumu'ah, Surah 62, verse 2, Almighty Allah mentions the functions of Nabi alayhi salam. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, recite the Quran to them, teach them how to read the Quran Sharif properly. Wa yuzakihim, purify them from kufr, shirk, bid'ah and everything else. So you purify them from all the things that are not permissible, internally, externally, from jealousy, malice, hatred, pride, arrogance. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitab wal hikmah, and teach them the Quran and the Sunnah. Majority of Sahaba are Arabs. Yet they required a teacher. And this day and this age, the Ummah say, we don't need a teacher. Sit on my lazy boy and on my rocking chair, and then I take a translation of the Quran or of Hadith, and I can become a self-studied scholar. That's a fallacy. That's a myth. And 99% you will go astray. That is the crime committed by the Salafis. Person just sit there and they say, no, I can study Bukhari, I can study Muslim, I can study. Almighty Allah made Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam the teacher. Sahaba, the students. The curriculum was Quran and Sunnah. The madrasa, Darul Um, call it whatever you want to, was Darul Arqam in Makkah next to Mount Safa. In Medina Munawwara was Masjid Nabawi. Now the time came to take the examination. You have students, you call me, you call somebody else, external examiner, study my, examine my students. Almighty Allah said, I gave you everything of the best. The best of Allah's creation, Mustafa, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved, the most precious. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your teacher. The best constitution, the Quran and the Sunnah. The best places, Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara. So Allah says, I'll break up the word so you can understand the Arabic. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Those are the people Almighty Allah took their imtihan. Do they have taqwa, piety and so forth, Allah consciousness? Allah took their imtihan. Allah announces the results. Open Surah 49 verses 4, 5, 6. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةُ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is forgiveness. For them is magnificent reward. They're not South African matriculants. You get 30% and 33% and you pass. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةُ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is magnificent reward. They pass with distinction. Time came for certificate. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Almighty Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Almighty Allah. وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And Almighty Allah promised all the Sahaba. All. Quran says. Jannah. Hadith in Tirmidhi. إِذَا سَمِئْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِ. When you hear and you see any person abusing, reviling, castigating my companions, فَقُولُوا, tell them, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. Allah's curse be on you for the evil you are perpetrating, the hadith in Tirmidhi. So remember, we will follow Nabi alayhi salam, we will follow the Sahaba, we will follow the four schools. That is what Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah stands for. And anybody else, we will not accept. We must be clear what we are believing in and who we follow. If you want to eradicate Salafism, you want to protect your masajid, you want to protect your madaris, then you need to know who we are following and what is required. Otherwise, people will come with a forked tongue. And tomorrow, they will take your masajid over, as happened now in Mauritius. I told you last week, Friday, I delivered Jummah day, the week before that in reunion, and go see the problems they are facing. We have still 10-15 minutes. I want to come to our beloved country. Brothers, we are facing a massive, massive problem. And the problem is, you just go to extension 9. So you must remember, you will see the problem. That's the micro. And the macro is this country of ours. We as Muslims need to take a good look at ourselves. Have we done justice or have we done injustice? Believe you me, I'm guilty, you guilty, 90% of us are guilty. Study our history, go to the old South Africa if you want to use the term. Our old Transvaal, our own Natal, old, now they call it KwaZulu Natal. You must remember, we the Indians came from India, our forefathers, more than 150 years ago. Allah Jalla Wala reward them, the great sacrifice contribution they made. You start from Port Shepstone right till Joburg. Go to Port Shepstone, go to Durban, you'll see Jumma Masjid, Grey Street, go to Marisburg, go to Escort, go to Newcastle, Ladysmith, down. So Stenerton, Balfour, Heidelberg, and then you come to Kirk Street, Johannesburg. Just few towns and cities I took you. They built a masjid right in the heart of town. They built a masjid before they built their own homes. This is what happened in Iraq. Go study Kufa's history. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu stood there in Kufa. He was a master marksman. And he said, where I'm shooting my arrows, where the arrow lands, so there that masjid will be built. He shot the arrow right, left, all directions, south, north, east, west. And where the arrow landed, till today you will find Jamil Kufa, we read Salat there also in Iraq. So this is what the Sahaba did. When they went and conquered the place, they built the house of Allah first, before building their own homes. So this is our forefathers, Almighty Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. They made an indelible contribution to Islam and Muslims. But we have failed. How we have failed? We have Indianized Islam. We made Islam for the Indians only. Look at our masajid. Look at our demographics. How many of the indigenous are in our masajid? We don't want them in our masjid also. We're not even prepared to give them a post in many instances. How come has the apartheid regime brought so much apartheid in our hearts? You need to ask yourself these questions. These are pertinent questions, my brothers. If I give you one incident of one personality, then you tell me, we have brothers, we have sisters, so I'll give you two. Then you tell me how far we are from this. Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardah. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the African muazzin. There was no adhan in Makkah Mukarrama. In Madinah Munawwara, Mashura was held, consultation was held. How should we give adhan? Someone said burn fire, someone said hit the bell, all that Nabi alayhi salam rejected all that. Then Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbihi, subhanallah, these were the Sahaba. Lahu hadithun wahid. The Sahabi only reported one hadith. He reported one hadith, but the one hadith is practiced in the whole world. What is his name? Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbihi. He only narrated one hadith. So anyway, he saw the dream of Azan, he came, Nabi alayhi salam confirmed it, oh Bilal, come, and for Azin, give Azan, oh Bilal. Sayyidina Bilal becomes the first Muazzin in Madinah Munawwara. He is the Muazzin in Makkah Mukarramah, just now I'll give you the incident. He is the Muazzin in Masjidul Aqsa, the only Muazzin in the history of Islam, during the time of Nabi alayhi salam and afterwards, to give Azan in all three places. Nevertheless, he is Waziru Malihi. Go today to Dimashq, where Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu is buried, and you will find on the wall is written, Muaddinu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Waziru Malihi. The Muaddin of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Minister of Finance. Allah's Qudrat, brothers, two Muazzins, both of Madinah Munawwara. One Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and the second one was the blind Muazzin Abasa wa Tawalla Anja'ul A'ma. So you must remember Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu an. So he's also buried in the same graveyard. Both Muazzin in Madinah Munawwara, both buried in Babu Sagir, there in Dimashq, in Damascus, in Syria. Anyway, this Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu renders the adhan. It is, now listen carefully, my brothers. It is the 8th year of the Hijrah. The conquest of Makkah takes place. The mushrikeen, the polytheists, are seeing something they never dreamt of. They were the custodians, they were the trustees, they were the big shots, the chaudhries, as you will say in Urdu, of Makkah Mukarramah, and now Makkah is changing. It will become Darul Islam, the capital of Islam once again. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives them, go, antumut tulaqa. But before that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Sayyidina Bilal, we want to show these mushrikeen, these polytheists, one lesson. The tragedy of this ummah, millions of us from different parts of the world go for umrah and hajj. Even 1% of this ummah do not know this. Ask them in which piece of land in Makkah was Sayyidina Bilal tortured and persecuted. If you ask in this majma, wallahi on this minbar, you won't get 10 people who know. You must remember this, not even 1% of this ummah knows. Why? We're not interested in these things. We're only interested in how much shopping we can do even in the holiest places. When I go for Hajj, Umrah, sometimes they push me in front, make dua. We make dua, Ya Allah, accept our Hajj. Ameen. Ya Allah, accept our Umrah. Ameen. Ya Allah, accept our Ziyarah. Ameen. Ya Allah, let us die in Medina. Ameen. Come on, softly. I ask him, what's wrong? He said, no, shopping baki chie. When this Ummah, how you can speak of this Ummah? When you go next time for Umrah, Hajj, Allah, take us again and again to the Haramain Sharifain and protect it from the enemies of Islam. There are many enemies. Anyway, you must remember this. The place name is called Batha Quraysh. Till today it's called Batha Quraysh. Now they're developing their areas, houses, shops and all that. So in Batha Quraysh, there Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was persecuted. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Bilal, Bilal, you're not going to enter the Baytullah, the Kaaba. You climb on top of the Baytullah, Zuhur time. Let them all see what Islam does. Takes the African person, the Habashi, and puts him on the Baytullah. And from there he renders the Adhan. This deen is Islam, my brothers. It's got nothing to do with your gam mentality. Aproto ai gam nuche, na ai gam nuche. This gam means nothing in Islam. Indian means nothing in Islam. Our motto and message is Islam for all and all for Islam. That is our message. According to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Not according to others. That is our Islam. So take the message of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. And what are we doing? We have failed hopelessly. Jumma time today, I said, we have taught our domestic, our employees, Gujarati, Meman, Urdu, Oplang, everything we taught them, we never taught them Dinul Islam. Are we true? Are we honest or not? You mothers, sisters, take the story and share it with the world. Mustafa, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the only rahmatul lil alameen. The only one who is a mercy to every creation of Almighty Allah. Who are the murdi'at? Who are the honorable ladies who breastfed Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyida Amina, the honorable mother of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Halima Saadiyah radiallahu anha. So the honorable Sayyida Halima. Then Suwayba. And then the African. If you want to use the word, you can use it. The black lady. What was her name? Her name was Barakah. Her kunya and agnomen was Umme Ayman. The African lady breastfed our Nabi Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tell this ummah, my dear mothers and sisters. So how can we feel because we have a lighter complexion we are superior to others? Why all this trouble? This trouble goes on because we fail to do our job. We never ever gave them Islam. As long as we made money from them, it was sufficient for us. We are to blame partly, brothers. We could have changed the landscape of South Africa. How long we are here? 150 years. How long we are in Cape Town? Today the world knows Robben Island for the wrong reasons. We don't fear. We don't have to curry favor with any person, with any government, with any organization. Let me be clear on this issue. You must remember this. I mentioned it every day almost. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, or any government. We must be Muslims and propagate Islam. How come today this Muslim Ummah of South Africa, they know Robben Island because majority of kafir politicians. You don't know Robben Island because in the year 1781 to 1793, Imam Twangguru was also incarcerated there. He by-hearted the Quran when he was left already and was sent in political exile. He from memory, our youngster read Quran now, mashallah. Imam Twangguru in the 13 years, he wrote the Quran Sharif in Robben Island. The first Quran to be seen in the, to see, come to South Africa, written where? In Robben Island. The Muslim Ummah doesn't know, but they know about the kafir politicians. It's not a shame and a disgrace. What a shame and disgrace it is. Oh Ummah, rise up and know what is your history. We have a golden history, starting in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, everywhere else, South Africa. One person wrote the Quran Sharif in Robben Island. Go and ask the ulama in Cape Town. Go to Owal Masjid. In the corner there you will find a photocopy of that masjid, of that Quran Sharif written. The original they have kept because they fear, you know, South Africa, too much theft goes on. So maybe somebody will steal the Quran also. So you must remember these things here. Today, South Africa per capita has the largest amount of hafiz in the world. Your lands, you got over 1,000 hafiz. What you think, from where all this came? So brothers, we have to rise up. We have to fight every evil force. We have to fight the Zionists. We have to fight the Salafis. We have to fight these people who want to keep away Islam from the masses. And these are the challenges that we are facing. I leave you with this. I know you love Mauritius, you love Durban, you love Cape Town. This is my concluding remark. And see where we belong. When we go to Mauritius, we go Durban, Cape Town, PE. You see the wonderful ocean, and you see the bubble and the foam on top. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذَبُ جُفَاءً. As for the bubble and the foam that is on top, that is a symbol of falsehood. That is a symbol of the enemies of Islam. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The water beneath the bubble and the foam, that is Islam. The truth, take the water of Islam to the masses, to the world. Say we are not ambassadors of our country. We are ambassadors of Islam. Inshallah, we will take this deen of Islam to all parts of the world without fear and favor. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect our iman. May Almighty Allah make our khatima on Islam. And may Almighty Allah protect us from all types of fitna. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.